Okay, as the band sits down, I'll echo Chuck's statement. Happy Father's Day. It's I don't know how you feel as a father, but it's kind of the greatest gift we can ever have in life. And so, and there's a lot of fathers that will be a father someday out there too. So a lot of things to look forward to. First of all, my name's Kirk Scott. I am one of the pastors down at Quest. I'm kind of filling in today. So if you don't like me, don't worry. I won't be back next week. So, but we're kind of filling the pulpit for the next 6-7 weeks. And so we've got some amazing people that want to come and just be humble and be open to sharing the word. So you have a lot to look forward to over the next few months. And again, the district is looking hard as far as finding a full-time pastor as well. So anyways, that's what churches do. When things change, you all come together and work together. So anyways, today I wanted to wish you a happy Father's Day. But I also want to say that when you're a father, you know, we spend lots of times doing lots of things. And one of the things we talk about doing is dads are a part of our vacations. And I bet if I went around, everybody would have a vacation story about their dad, okay? Because we just sometimes do some pretty foolish things on those vacations and sometimes some noble things. But today, we're going to be talking about hitting the road. And because that's what we do in the summer. In fact, I talked to some folks earlier. You guys hit the road. You're up here at Indian Lake, and this is a destination point. And we see people traveling all kinds of places. And I want all of you to help me with a dilemma that we have in our household right now. My wife and I are trying to decide where we want to go on vacation. We just can't decide. Now, I'm sure everybody here has a favorite vacation spot, right? Just a favorite one. You say, oh, Kirk and Pam, you guys need to go here, right? Well, I don't have time to talk to you, each of you, after service, okay? And I'd love to pick your brain, but we're going to do something a little different. On the count of three, I want you all to shout out your favorite vacation spot. Okay, we're going to see if you all say the same thing. Everybody got it? This is going to determine where Pam and I go. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Well, that wasn't very helpful. I did hear somebody say Hawaii. I came back here. Just to let you know that's not happening. Not happening at all. No. We'll wait. That timing is everything. I think I'll wait on that trip. So anyways, lots of good choices. And thank you for your suggestions. We'll take them under advisement, as I often tell my wife when she's giving me suggestions. So anyways, when we all go on vacation, you know, we love it. We look forward to it. But isn't there a lot of work that goes into it? I mean, you got lists to do, you got to pack things, you got to stop your mail, you got to do things at your job. It's just so many things going on, and it's craziness. And then you get in the van or you're heading to the flight or something, it's craziness. You forgot something, you got to go back, and it's just, it's rough, especially being a dad. And I want to share a little secret with you that I learned a few years ago. I came across this verse or this quote, and it's not a biblical quote, but it is something from a guy named Ralph Waldo Emerson. Many of you may have heard of him. And he says this, it's not about the destination, it's all about the journey. Now, why is that important? Okay, usually when we get up early, we always like to get an early start. My kids were young, okay, this is when this stuff happened. It's stressful with two small kids, you got the minivan packed, and you get up early, and I always look at this right before I leave, and I keep telling myself, I just keep repeating it over and over again, okay, get it stuck in my mind. Why do I do that? Because about 8 hours later, the kids are hungry and cranky, and so am I, and so am Pam. And Pam says something, honey, did you miss the exit again? And I'm like, oh, I just want to chew her out a little bit, but I can't because, you know, I'm with my kids. And then the kids, oh my gosh, for the umpteenth time, they say what? Are we there yet? And, you know, as a dad, your patience level just goes up. And it's at those moments that I have to take a deep breath and go, okay, it's all about the journey. It's all about the journey. And so that's what calms me down. So, we're going to talk about something else a little different, too. You know, vacations are important, and they're great, they're fantastic, but there's something even more. It's what I call our faith journey. And, you know, no matter where you're at with your faith, you're always on this journey. You're always changing and growing and learning and becoming more and more like Christ, because that's a lifelong type of a journey. And we also have to be really honest. We have to start with starting points. You know, just because you're in church doesn't mean anything. We're all on different journeys, and we all have different starting points. For instance, there's some people here that have been longtime believers and maybe grew up in the church, and that's great. We have people that maybe haven't attended church a whole lot lately and just recently started coming to church. We have people who recently have just given their life to Christ. You know, this is all new for them. It's all exciting. They're just learning what this being a Christian is all about. We also have people that have, quite honestly, have had a tough experience with churches. I mean, we experienced that. You know, one of the hardest things we had to do is we left the church we'd been at for 12 years. My wife and I are deacons, Kay and Aaron are involved in the young people's group and Vacation Bible School, and we had to leave that church. And that's just difficult. And we find sometimes at Quest, we get a lot of folks that have had some bad experiences at church, and it's okay just to come and worship and rest and not feel like you have to jump in and do things, because we just want you to get healed up from that experience. And many times what we find is people stay at Quest or they move back. And sometimes it's really interesting. They move back to their old church. You know, it's like the healing was accomplished. And we just praise the Lord for that. So, and then quite honestly, we have people that are still trying to figure this whole God thing out. You know, they've been in church, but they're not really ready to commit to Christ yet. They're still learning. And you know what? All those phases are great. Okay? They're fine. Now, we don't want you to stay in some of those areas because God's got something even bigger and better for you. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But that's our starting point. We all come from a little different area. Okay. Let me go back to this original comment. And with all due respect to Ralph Waldo Emerson, I'm going to change it a little bit. Okay. I'm going to cross out one word, and that one word's going to make all the difference. It's that first word there. Second word's not. I'm going to change this quote to saying it's all about the destination and it's all about the journey. Okay, now why do I say that? First of all, John 3:16. Okay, as good Christians, you know, if you didn't grow up in the church, John 3:16 you've seen. Okay, it's at football games on signs, it's on tattoos, it's on bumper cars of your car, it's on all kinds of things. And I think if I asked any of you to repeat it, many of you probably could, because here's the verse: For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Okay. That's the destination, you know, and that's the whole key. We all want, and I want everybody here to have eternal life. We want to be in heaven. You know, we always talk about, you know, life here is like this much time. Eternity goes on forever and ever. That's why this verse is so very important, okay? And you see, John 3:16, it focuses on what? The word belief. And if you're filling out your bulletin points, I think this is the second part you fill in. It's all about belief, how important that is. And we've already talked about that. That's going to be the key to where you spend eternity. Now, let's go past that first part, because the destination is the most important part, yes, but today I want to talk a little bit more about the journey along the way, because that's pretty important as well. In fact, we're going to talk about that. It's all about the journey. And it's funny, I want to share with you here a couple weeks ago, actually it was about 3 weeks ago, I think that my kids, and of course my son's with me this morning, and he's grown, and 24? 23, okay, now. Don't tell Mom I didn't get that right, but I saw you pause too, so that's good. Son's 23, that means my daughter's 25, okay? So they're older now, but there was a West Liberty garage sale, and I don't know what the fascination is about garage sales, but the whole family came home, and of course, Quest, to West Liberty, we have a Saturday night service, and when I got home, my son and daughter and her husband and my wife, they were all sitting on the couch, and I walked in, and they were having a great time. They were just laughing and hooting and hollering, and I'm like, whoa, 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 we know the rule here, right? You can't have fun unless Dad's around, right? So I looked at what they were doing, and they were actually looking at an old photo album. Now, some of you young people don't know what that is, you know, because your photo albums are on their cell phones, right? Okay, well, in the old days, we had photo albums where you took your Polaroids or your 35-millimeter prints, and you put them in a photo book, okay, and you could look at it. Really cool. You ought to try it sometime. So anyways, we started looking at pictures, and they were having fun. And anyways, one of the pictures that came up was this first one, and I apologize. This may be kind of small. We have a big screen down at West Liberty, and it's a lot bigger. So, but there's a picture of my two kids, and they're in the back of the van. That's one of those mornings we're getting ready to read. And they were looking at that picture, and they're saying, Dad, why'd you make us wear cowboy hats? And I said, because guess what? In Texas, you wear cowboy hats, and you wear big belt buckles. So we were getting them dressed the way they need to be part of down there. So they were all excited to get going. And then for lunch, I want to share this with you, because my daughter Katie was laughing. She says, well, you remember when Mom made that pizza book? I'm like, pizza book? What in the world are you talking about? And she pointed to that picture. She said, right there, that's the pizza book. Now, back in those days, we didn't have much money, so we had to do everything a little on the cheap low. And but Pam wanted to make vacation memorable for my kids. And so she took just a pizza, folded it over, and made it into a pizza book. Okay, so that was memorable for the kids. And you can see nothing but the best for the Scott children. Where are we eating at? The curb of a gas station. Okay, so nothing but the best for my kids. My son's got a little Capri Sun there. He's pretty happy. So anyway, so we're laughing about this. And then we get to another picture, and Aaron says this, and he looks at it, and he says, and he's there on the right, in the red hair, of course, and he's got those socks. I don't know if you can see them or not, but they go clear up to his knees. And he's like, Mom, why did you dress me like that? I look like a dork with those socks clear up to the knees. And I'm like, dude, you dressed yourself back then. And that just kind of shut him down. And anyway, so they laughed about that a little bit, and then we got this next picture, and they said, you know, I remember there was something, we went to a restaurant, and there was like a computer. Now, this is back in 2001, okay, so anyways, there was a computer at the restaurant, and we pulled it up, and it was like right there. That was the computer the kids played on, and they made a friend, and anyways, they remembered that. And just to show you that I'm not a terrible father, I do take my kids out to fine establishments. We're at Burger King, so that's an upgrade from the curb, right? So I wanted to show you those pictures, but you know what was amazing about those pictures and that night was, did we go to Houston, Texas and do some amazing things? Did I spend some money on some really cool things? Yes, but you know what? They weren't talking about that. They were talking about this kind of stuff. The things that happen on the journey, not only to our destination, but also on the way back. And that really struck me and made me think about this message. But there's another type of road trip. And we talked about John 3:16, but there's another verse, and it's the key verse of today, and we're going to really focus on this. It's Luke 9:23, road trip, we're going to call it. And if I had to ask all of you to quote Luke 9:23, you might kind of not know that one, or you might know bits and pieces of it, but it's not as popular. But here's the wild part about it, is that we know that man wrote the Bible, but it was inspired by the Holy God, right? So we know that anything that God wanted us to know is in the Bible. And what's interesting is when you have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I always pay a special attention to those things that are in three of the four Gospels or sometimes even four of the four Gospels, because it's almost like, okay, Kirk, God knows you may miss it the first time, but I want you to get the second time, and I want you to get the third time. This is one of the stories that's in all three Gospels, so this is an important part. Let me also set the stage for you a little bit as well. The disciples. What's happened before this part of the Bible is Jesus has, there was a man that was demon-possessed and he healed him, you know, got rid of the demon. He raised a 12-year-old girl from the dead. He also took those disciples and he sent them out by two and gave them the power to exorcise demons and heal people. And so can you imagine coming back after doing that, how cool that would be? And then to top it off is we have the feeding of the 5,000, okay, where they got to see Jesus take five loaves of bread and two small fish and not only feed those 5,000 people, which basically in those days that they just count the men. So we're talking, what, 5,000 men, and then when you figure women and children, could have been 10,000, could have been 15,000, could have been this huge crowd. And they're seeing Jesus do all this stuff, and they have to be on a mountaintop. You know, they have to recognize that, man, this Jesus, I'm so glad we're a disciple because, man, he is a rock star. And look at the praise and look at all this stuff that's happening. And man, what a great time to be a disciple. And so they're on a mountaintop, right? And just so happens when those mountaintops hit, they are great when you experience them. What happens later? Okay, you come down a little bit. And Jesus is going to pull his disciples down just a little bit too, because he's going to start asking some very, very tough questions here in a moment. The first question is this. It's actually an easy question. You see, Jesus is with his disciples. And this is after the feeding of the 5,000. They're all exhausted. And Jesus says, "Who do the crowds say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." Now, I'm sure Jesus really appreciated these compliments and being compared to these great people. But Jesus doesn't care about compliments. He wants commitment. And we're going to talk about that. So that was an easy one to answer. But then he asks a tougher one. He says, okay, I know what the crowd says I am, but who do you say I am? Okay, now it becomes very personal. I can just see Jesus kind of looking them all in the eye and saying, okay, who do you say I am? And I bet there was a pin drop, because nobody would have known exactly how to answer that, kind of complex. But as usual, when those things happen, who steps up? It's Peter. Peter's pretty bold, and he just steps up and says, the Christ, the Son of God, okay? He's the first disciple to recognize that. And I'm sure all the other disciples are like, yeah, what Peter said, that's what our answer is too, because Peter always gets it right. But you see, then it gets a little bit tougher. It's not just who do you say I am. Then Jesus proceeds to tell them, okay, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Now, remember I told you about those disciples being on that mountaintop? Okay, this is bringing them down a little bit, because they're hearing about their leader, Jesus, is going to suffer lots of stuff. He's going to be rejected by all these powerful people, whether it's the priests or the elders or the teachers of the law. And he's going to be killed? Got to be honest with you, if I'm a disciple at this moment, I might be rethinking my position. I might be thinking, wait a second, there was all this great stuff, but now you're talking about some adversity, and I don't know if I want to be part of all that. And you know what? As a disciple, I'm not going to be focusing on some stuff. I'm going to be focusing on those three words, suffer, rejected, and killed. I may have missed, and that's what the disciples did. They missed that last sentence, which is probably the most important sentence they should have focused on, is, yeah, all this bad stuff's going to happen, but on the third day, I'm going to rise. Kind of in one ear and out the other, just bypassed them. But that's probably the most important part to that. Now we're going to get to the meat of the sermon. We're going to be talking about Luke 9:23. Here's the verse. Then he said to them all, if anyone should come after me, they must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. That's Luke 9:23. That's what this journey is all about. Because once you accept Christ, then you become a Christ follower, and here's what he expects, those three things. And we're going to talk a little bit about each one of those a little bit. First of all, the words, if anyone, that's how it starts off. You know, it's interesting. Jesus is talking to 12 disciples. Now, it's just interesting. He didn't say all of you. He didn't say some of you, or do the Texas theme with the y'all. He didn't have that accent back in those days. He didn't say those words. He said, if anyone, okay? That means it's all-inclusive. It just wasn't for those disciples. It was for whoever was out there in the country and that way and across the whole world. Well, we see that in John 3:16 too, correct? You know, whoever believes in me. So when he talks about if anyone, we all have access to Christ and what that means in our lives. Would come after me is the next part about that. And I love these words, relentless pursuit. You know, we all have this moment where there's things we pursue on a relentless basis. Kyle Edelman wrote a book called Not a Fan, and I love that book. And one of the things he always compares about is this part is about chasing your spouse, you know, and from a man's perspective, how he went through courting his wife, you know, learning about her, studying her, and, you know, kind of took me back to my college years when I met my wife, and I knew I was attracted to her, I knew I wanted to get to know her better, so I joined a club just because of her, and I got to know her through that, and anyways, I wanted to learn and study her, and there was one night I didn't know where she lived, and so I kind of walked behind her about 20 feet. Kind of sounds a little creepy now I say that. You know, I guess I was a stalker before it was in fashion, but I found out where she lived. So the next time when I drove her home or volunteered, I knew where I was going. So anyways, that's the pursuit. And it's interesting here, it's probably about 4 weeks ago, I'm in a men's group. You know, we talk about life groups, and you're going to hear more about that as those start up more in the fall. Life groups are great because you get together with a small group of 8 to 12 people, and you just get into God's Word. Maybe you're studying a book series like that Kyle Edelman's book, I Told You Not a Fan, or maybe you're studying the chapter of James or Matthew, but, you know, you're getting into God's Word, and it's with friends, with family. And anyways, our men's group, we just got through this. We were studying different parables of Jesus, and it just so happened this one really hit home. Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. That's that relentless pursuit. You know, he found something in a field that was so valuable that he immediately covered it up, made sure nobody was watching him, and then he left and he sold everything. Man, he may have had fields and businesses, camels, donkeys. He sold it all, and then it says, what'd he do? He came back in great joy and bought that field. Was he interested in that field? Probably not, but he wanted that treasure. And that's the treasure we find when we chase and come after Jesus Christ. Okay. Now we start the three big things. What does it take to be a Christian? Number one, Jesus is saying, hey, you must deny yourself. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to deny myself at all. You know, if I see something, I want it, I like to go get it. If I want to do something, I like to do it. And in fact, I will tell you, I probably grew up and was my early marriage years, I was a little bit selfish in some ways. And I chuckle because one of the things that happened in 2001, right before that Texas trip, is I went on something called a Emmaus Walk. I don't know if any of you have heard of that. We talk a lot about Quest. It's really just a 4-day retreat. In fact, there's one going on right now for women over in Sydney. There's usually 3 times a year they offer, one for men, one for women. And it's really just a chance to get away and get a chance to hear like 15 talks from pastors and laity about their relationship with Christ and what that means and what it means to be a Christian. And so there's some great things that happen there. Some of the things you'll never experience on this side of heaven that happen that you're like, wow. And I always say it's also fun. You know, you think about it's going to be lots of serious stuff, and it is. Trust me, there's some great things that happen. But when you're with 40 guys, you can imagine what happens. 40 guys that don't know each other, but within a few days, you kind of become like brothers, and you're sharing, and you're talking, and it was probably the best experience of my life next to the birth of my kids and my marriage. So I guess you can tell I'm a little passionate about Maya. So if anybody wants to talk about that, you know, please consider doing that. But anyways, we're in Texas, and I'm telling my uncle and aunt, actually be my wife's uncle and aunt, about this Emmaus experience and how great it was and how I learned stuff and I grew and things I didn't know. And my wife's like, oh, yeah, let me tell you, he's a whole lot better now. And I didn't want to say anything right then because I didn't want to embarrass my wife in front of her entire family. But later on, I pulled her aside. I'm like, what was up with that? I said, was I that bad of a dad or that bad of a father? And she says, well, no, but you're different. And I didn't realize it, but she saw a difference. The people I go to church with saw a difference. My coworkers saw a difference. My kids saw a difference. Why? Because I wasn't as selfish anymore. You see, on that walk is when I learned it's not my stuff. It's not my car, my house. It's not even my kids. It's not my Buckeyes. It's not any my 401k. It all belongs to God. It's not my stuff. I also learned, you know what? It's not all about me. God comes first, my wife and kids second, other people come, my job, those things, they aren't nearly as important as me. So that was a very humbling, tremendous experience, and God used that in such a powerful way. But that's what it means to deny yourself, okay? And we all have to work on that. Even today, I'm still not there. I still revert back to some of those selfish moments, right? Like when my son brings home some cookies and I know they belong to him, guess who steals one? I still do that, right, Aaron? But so we all have those moments, right? Okay, so what's the next part of that? Take up the cross daily. You know, back in those days, the disciples, when they heard that, it probably really freaked them out because, you know, today we think of the cross as kind of a noble thing. It's in regards to our Christian faith. It's a symbol. But you got to realize back in those days, there was nothing noble or exciting or positive about a cross. I mean, it was a Roman torture death machine, okay? It was a terrible way to die. It was brutal. And you were stepping on that cross as an example for all to see. So it was a long process. It was painful. And it was humiliating. So there was nothing noble about the cross. And Jesus says, you're going to have, as a disciple, you're going to have to take up your cross daily. Now, do we face those kind of things today? Not in America. Not too much. You know, you go across the world, there are Christians being martyred all the time. But here in America, we have a pretty nice lifestyle, and there's moments. But you know what? If you're following Jesus, it's going to cost you something. It may not be your life, but it might be your time, might be your possessions, might be your relationships with friends and coworkers. You know, there's different people we encounter sometimes. We talked about, and you know, it happens here, it happens at Quest. I hope it happens at every single church where lives are being transformed once they come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden they're a new person. And there's situations where there's a husband that gets converted and the wife's a little leery of that, or vice versa, or kids, or I know some situations in job environments. There was a young man at Quest that he was up for a promotion, and they said, you know, and I won't name the company because, you know, there's so many around, but anyways, the business was a factory, and you know, they brought him in and said, look, you're ready for this job, you're qualified, you've been trained, you're prepared, but there's one thing. Jesus doesn't have a place in this factory. And he's like, so we need you to shut down this Jesus stuff. Now that guy caught him off guard because he really wanted that promotion, but he wasn't going to stop talking about the gospel. He wasn't going to stop carrying his Bible to work as people seeked him out. So guess what? He didn't get that promotion. That was a cost. But you know, the reward is so much better in so many different ways. Now we talk about follow me. Following Jesus isn't easy, but it's the only road worth following. Let me share some things with you, and you all can relate with this. There's probably been times in your life when you faced a challenge or a difficulty, and maybe you said, you know, if only I did this, that would make me feel better. Or if only I did that, it would be a better turnout, or I'd find an answer. And it could be anything. It could be alcohol, it could be drugs, it could be pornography, it could be a half gallon of mint chocolate chip ice cream. I don't know. We've all followed those roads that we thought were going to bring happiness and contentment and peace, and guess what? They just make things even worse sometimes, right? And that's where we find that Jesus is really the only thing that's going to bring true peace and contentment and understanding. So this is your final bullet point in there. We've already talked about John 3:16, but Luke 9:23 emphasizes following. Okay, that's that journey, how important it is to follow. And what's interesting, I want to share a letter we got here, and this just happened a couple weeks ago. We did some baptism at Quest a couple weeks back, and we had about 12 people or so baptized, and one of those was a young man named Derek. And I asked if I could share his story, because he had posted on Facebook, and I loved it. And I want to share this with you. And I met Derek probably a few months back. He had just kind of started coming to Quest, and I won't go into the great story, but he faced some challenges. He faced some difficulties, and he's even going to share that in his own words. But when he was baptized, that afternoon he posted this post. I want to read this to you. Says, today symbolizes a new beginning. A few weeks ago, I gave my life to Christ, and today I stood before my peers and publicly gave my life to him. Those of you who know me well will also know that my life hasn't been easy. A lot of hard lessons, ups and downs, as well as being close to rock bottom. I never asked why me, but just kept going. And here's the key thing. Yet I always was missing something. He knew he was missing something. He said it wasn't a new car. I tried that. It wasn't a new relationship, and I tried that too. It wasn't anything I could buy or anyone I could say was my significant other. It is the taking the leap of faith and accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior that has been the missing piece of my life. And then he said this. He says, I'm excited to see what's in store for my family and myself as we get to go through this journey together. You see, Derek had all figured out. He tried lots of different stuff, but then he believed. And now he's on this journey. And that's exciting as a pastor when we get letters like that, because it's like, okay, this is somebody. In fact, when he told me this, he looked at me, because I'd met with him some other times, and he looked at me and says, Kirk, I'm all in. I'm like, what was that? He said, I'm all in. And you should have just seen the smile on his face. There was like a weight off his shoulders. And you know what? He's still smiling to this day. He's changed. He's different. Just by belief and following. And we're excited to see where that journey takes him, as he is as well. As I close, I want to share a couple things. First of all, this journey. It's a journey of a lifetime. For those of you that are on it, you know what I'm talking about. It is the most exciting thing you can be part of. You know, if you think following the Buckeyes through a national championship is run, that's nothing compared to this, okay? Because you're growing, you're learning, you're changing. People are seeing a difference in you. So it's a trip of a lifetime, and it takes your whole life. You know, it's not something you snap your fingers and say, okay, I'm this great Christian now. In fact, we often say if you're around somebody who says, hey, I've got this all figured out, just do what I say, run away from them, okay? Because guess what? We're never done growing. We're never done learning, okay? It's a lifelong trip. We already talked about that a little bit. It takes your whole life, you know? I'm still learning. I'm still growing, and I hope I'm a lot better pastor than I was a year ago and 5 years ago, and I hope I'm better in the future, not only as a pastor, but also as a father and a husband, because we are always growing. And finally, this is the best part. We are never alone on this journey. You know, when you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, that's when the Holy Spirit comes within you, okay? And you may not notice it right away, but that's what starts some of the change. Things you did yesterday that you knew were a sin you didn't care about, now you still might do it, but now you know you shouldn't. And down the road, that Holy Spirit kind of keeps convicting you a little bit more each day, and you realize, you know what, that's something I really can't have in my life. I need to get rid of it and not do it. Okay, that's the Holy Spirit. The second thing, and you guys have experienced it here, you know, this is a wonderful church family. Wonderful church family. You know, the fact that we all can come together. You know, we talked about life groups. We talked about corporate worship, how important that is, just to come together. And it's so cool because there are some times when kids were young, and I kind of doubted myself, if I was I being a good parent, and Pam, you know, moms kind of worry about stuff too, and it was so great to get in a life group of other parents with similar kids our own age, and we realized, wait a second, I thought we were the ones messed up. You know, everybody's messed up. We all make mistakes, and you know, that was so refreshing, as we were just open and honest, and that's what's great about life groups, and that's what's great about church family, is you support each other, you encourage each other, and you know you're not perfect, and you're on this journey together. So as we close, we're going to be talking about hitting the road. I've got two questions to ask you, and these are just some things to think about. Number one, are you ready to arrive at the only destination that matters? You know, when you think about that, we spend a lot of time talking about vacation and making plans, but you know what? There's really ultimately only one destination that matters, and that's where we're going to spend eternity. Remember I showed you earlier? This is our life. That's eternity, and it goes across the lake, across the county lines, across Canada, across the world. That's eternity. What we do in this time period in our life makes a difference. And finally, for those of you that have already accepted Christ, how's your Luke 9:23 journey going? You know, we all have seasons in our life when things change. And so there's sometimes, I guess I have to ask, first of all, have you even got out of the garage? I mean, that might be something that happens. You accept Christ, but then you don't get moving any direction. Sometimes we are on the cruise control. We're just steady eddy, just going along. And that can be both good and bad in different ways. Sometimes we run out of gas. You know, we've all experienced those moments in the valley. You know, I talked about the mountaintop experience. Well, sometimes there's a valley when you're running out of gas. You know, whether it's an injury or surgery or a health issue or a divorce or just you name it, because life happens. Okay. And then there's those times in life when, you know what, you are so on fire, you're excited, you're pumped up, and you're breaking every speed limit known to man, okay? And that's where God wants all of us, because when you have a relationship with Christ, man, you want to be on fire. You want to share your faith, okay? And you want to go out and do certain evangelism projects. And you just want to be that coworker that's willing to share the gospel with others. So that's what we're talking about. And as I close, I'd just like to encourage you. You know, we go back to that original thought about it's all about the destination. True. But you know what? It's all about the journey as well. And so I just hope today we've kind of planted some seeds and allowed you to think about your own journey and where you're at and what that means to you. So I'm going to close with a prayer, but we're going to ask the band to come up here in a moment. But I just hope you again have a wonderful Father's Day. I'm sure there's a lot of grilling going on and fishing and boating, and just have a blessed day. This is really a great day to kind of treasure your dads or your memory of your dads or those type of things. So let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for every person that's here today. We thank you. It's by your design that they're here. And I just hope whether it's a message, whether it's a friendly folks here, or whether it's words in this music, it's just lifted them up. and drawing you closer to them, God, because that's what we're all about, Father. We just want to draw closer to you because we are so imperfect. We're so messed up some days that we need a perfect God, Father, and that's what we need in you, and that's through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we just want to praise you and give you glory. And all God's children said,
amen.
Amen.